Mr. Barnard down there. Are you okay?
I am Alpha, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Hi. That thing is loud, isn't it? Now, at least it's better than the other one. I was sitting there wondering what I'd do if it kept making noise like that. Make me want to sit down and let you listen to the noise instead. But I'm very grateful to be here today, and I just hope that I can say something today that might help some of the new people that are here, because I'm, I hate to admit this, but I'm what they call an old timer. I've been around a long, long time. In fact, I came to Al-Anon. We helped start Al-Anon out here on the coast many, many years ago. I went to AA meetings with Chuck for a long, long time before Al-Anon was born. And it's, I am so glad to see that it has taken off and has made the tremendously wonderful program that it is today. Fortunately, we had a lot of help from AA, and I can remember so well when I was back in the East and Lois and Bill invited Chuck and me to their home. I don't imagine there are many people here that are old enough to have known Bill and Lois. Lois, of course, is still alive. And that was a marvelous experience. And I might just tell you one crazy little thing that happened when we were with them, and the kind of things that seem to happen at these things. It's kind of like this microphone going to hell in a handbasket. And we were there to spend the night, and they were going to take us out for dinner. And they were living, of course, as you all, I imagine, know, on Long Island. And there are a lot of eating places on Long Island. And we got in the car and went to the first one. And I'll be doggone if they weren't having a private party there, and we couldn't get in. So we got back in the car and tried running around to find a place that was open. All of the other places had closed. And we drove all over Long Island trying to find a place to eat and ended up back at the house. And there was a little cafe down at the foot of the hill where Bill and Lois lived. And we went in. They had closed. But they said they would open up and give us a salad if we would be willing to take care of that. So we went in and sat down and had a salad and then went back up to Bill and Lois's house. This is just one of the crazy things that happen in this program. Just exactly like the microphone going to hell today. What difference does it make? It's really not that important, is it? So let's have fun regardless. And let's see if anything can happen in this crazy head of mine that I can say something that will be of use to somebody who is here maybe for the first time. Would you, if anybody is here for their first meeting, would you raise your hand? Ooh, good. I always like to ask that because I feel better talking when there's somebody new in the audience, because so many of you have heard me so many times, I feel a little silly because you know my story backwards and forwards and through the middle. But I'm an only child. Are there any other only children in the room? You see, there are never very many new ones and there are never very many only children. So I'm distinctly one of a kind, so maybe I can pat myself on the back and feel a little better because of that. I was born in San Francisco. I'm a native Californian. And I was born, of course, just before, just 2 or 3 years before the San Francisco earthquake. Now that dates me, if nothing else ever does. And if you don't watch out before I get through, you'll know how old I am. And that is something, really. I was born in 1902. Can any of you figure that one out? I think I'm doing pretty good for that age, don't you? Well, I'll tell you something. If it weren't for you people, I never in the world would have been able to last this long. But you people have done something for me that nothing else under God's green earth could possibly have done. You've given me something to live by, to be interested in, and to love very, very dearly. And believe me, that is something. I can remember very well when I went to Hollywood High School, and I know there's several people here that went to Hollywood High even. And I tell this not to brag, but to give you a little idea of where I came from and why I'm like I am. I was very much alone at that time, scared to death of people. And I think probably there are a number of the Al-Anon members at least that have had the same feeling that I have had, that I wouldn't speak to anybody on the school grounds unless they spoke to me first. Do any of you understand that? And I had about two friends, and one of them said, "I've got to get you on this program." And I said, "Oh, don't do that," but they went ahead and did it anyway. And they got me in the contest for the person who would lead the big meeting. And that was my first time. And the funny part of it was that I won that contest, and then I went on to win the Los Angeles contest, and then up to Berkeley for the state. And I must have had a little talent, but I had marvelous coaching. And for some crazy reason, I won all three. Now, the only reason that I tell you that is because of what it did for me. It taught me how to put on a front. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? From that time on, nobody had any idea how scared I was. You don't have any idea how scared I am today, because I am. I never have gotten over it. But it's better. That's the only thing I can say about it. It's better. The thing that you have taught me that I wouldn't take $1 million for is not to care that much. I used to care so terribly that I would be number one on the thing. I would do a fine job, and I'd just die inside. But here I am. From there, when I graduate from high school, I go to UCLA. Now, this will date me if nothing else does. It was in the old school on Vermont Avenue before I'd ever moved to Westwood. And there's a man sitting right down here in front that knows all about me because his mother was in my class at school. That'll date me, too. But at any rate, here I am, trying so hard to be something that I'm not really. And at UCLA, they had a very, very fine dramatic class. And Alice Honeywell, if any of you have ever are old enough to remember her, was at the head of it. And it was in Greek drama. Now that's where my mind was at the time. I was going to study Greek drama, and I was going to be a great actress. That was all there was to it. And I covered up all of these other feelings with this desire. But while I was there studying Greek drama, I met a young man that a lot of you have known and have loved very dearly, and fell head over heels in love. And that was the death of my career. Because from then on, it was all I could do. I was so zeroed in on this guy because he was one of the most attractive men I think I've ever met in my life. And it just, fortunately, I've got to tell you a story of how I met Chuck. I don't know whether any of you have heard that story. It's kind of silly, but I'll tell it anyway. I lived just off Western Avenue, and not very far from where the Standard gas station was on Western Avenue, and that's where I always went in to fill my car. And I was always on my way to the beach because I was quite a swimmer in those days. And in the summertime, I just didn't think that I could ever stand to be anywhere but at the beach. And I stopped in to get gas this day, and this gorgeous looking guy came out to fill my gas tank. He had a spanking white uniform on. There wasn't a speck of grease on it. An overseas cap with a bell on it, you know, regular officer's cap. The handsomest thing I have ever laid eyes on in my life, tanned and gorgeous. And I took one look at him and I thought, where in the world did he come from? And he didn't pay any attention to me at all. And when I went to pay my gas tag, I'd forgotten my purse. Can any of you imagine what I felt like then? Here was this gorgeous guy, and I'm sitting there without any money. And I said, I just live a few blocks from here. If you'll excuse me, I'll go home and get my purse and be right back. And he said, oh, don't bother about it. He said, I'll take care of it. And he just nonchalantly went on about his business, and I got back in my car and went home and got my purse. And then I came back to the gas station. I don't think I was gone more than maybe 15 minutes at the most. And then we looked at each other. This. And for some reason or other, something happened. And I think all of you know exactly what happened. And from that time on, every opportunity I got, of course, I saw this young man. And of course, we finally got married. And along the way, we had two sons, unfortunately, 6 years apart. And the strange part of it was that in those days, Chuck and I were doing some drinking. We were just with the crowds.